And it is 27 minutes after the hour. It's another Transcendent Tuesday, and that means it's another session with Dr. Don Clark, who kindly consents to join us every week here on Broken Road Radio. Don is a vintner and operates a winery in Grand Garden Valley. Well, it's Grand in Garden Valley, Texas.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Grand Rapids. And I said, no, well, no, not really. No. Yeah, in Garden Valley.
Grand Garden Valley, Texas. It's just about 80, 90 miles east of Dallas. If you have your maps handy, your Broken Road Radio maps, you can see Don smiling from his vineyards there if you look closely. And Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments, an expert on the, well, is it fair to call you, you are an expert, you're a teacher, you've studied, you've got your notes and presentations on Genesis, and we've been enjoying them on Daniel. How did that all start?
Oh, well, it started when I got saved, actually, mm-hmm. because right after I gave my heart to the Lord at the ripe young age of 35. Then I started reading Genesis. I started reading the Bible from page one, which was obviously Genesis. And when I began reading it, before that time, I had the evolutionary story kind of down pat, and I could tell you how it happened. But then I started reading Genesis after I was saved, and I said, this is the only way it could possibly have happened, and which was obviously recorded in the book of Genesis. So Genesis became a favorite book of mine, and then, I was a quick learner and spent a lot of time reading my Bible, listening to Bible teachers, and one of my favorite teachers was Chuck Missler from California. Of course, I gave my heart to the Lord while I was out in California. Mm-hmm. And so I had all these Bible teachers on the radio that I would listen to, not throughout the day, but at lunchtime and in the evenings and things. And I grew rapidly in biblical knowledge. And so today I like to pass it on.
Is it fair to say that you focus on the Old Testament, though? Because we've rarely talked about the gospel accounts or Paul, and there's so much there, but it's so refreshing to hear someone who is totally engaged with the Old Testament. And I, after learning from you over the years, I don't even want to call it the Old Testament. It's the creation story is what it is.
Well, yes, the creation story, certainly in Genesis, and Genesis includes most of man's history. So if you, want to learn about the early history of man, just read Genesis, and that brings you pretty much through, obviously, up until right until before the Exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. And so it's a wonderful, not only is it a wonderful book, but the Old Testament, the other major book, one of the other major books I teach is Revelation. And you can't really understand Revelation without having a good knowledge of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament prophets, and without a good knowledge of Daniel, for example, which we've been spending time in. I mean, we could jump into Revelation, but we need to get back to science, I think, sometime along the line here. So, the Old Testament is the foundation. I mean, God spent a lot of time with the Israelites and a lot of time trying to develop this people that kept, they would go along for a period of time and things would be good, and then they would do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they would forget the Lord, and then they would have to go into captivity for 20 years or 40 years or 70 years as it was in Egypt. In Babylon. And so you have all of these things that if you go and read the Old Testament and get a feel and an understanding for how, God was dealing with this people group, which, are the Israelites or the Jews, and how their hearts kept turning away from him because they began to see the nations around them, and they took the gods in from the nations around them, which was one of the things that the Lord told them not to do, and they did it anyway. You know, reminds us of ourselves. You know, we know the Lord, but then we have this tendency, you know, Paul certainly you know, describes it in Romans you know, I want to do good, and but you know, there's this thing living inside me that you know, makes me do bad.
I'm fond of saying that times have changed, technology has changed, science has come into the picture, but people are pretty much the same as they always were.
They are. Now, we do have an advantage over the Israelites, for example, in that we, as Christians, have the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Holy Spirit residing within us, which helps us. You know, the law, if you will, is now written on our hearts. So if we are attuned to the Holy Spirit, we are less likely to sin. Doesn't mean that we are free of sin. Of course we're not, but we are less likely to sin. And but the Israelites, the only people that, you know, had the Holy Spirit were the prophets at times when they were prophesying. And, you know, other folks, you know, touched in. The judges, for example, I'm doing with the men at my church, I'm doing a Bible study now, and we're just going through the Bible, and we're in the book of Judges. And it's like, okay, how did these judges come about? Who anointed, you know, who picked these judges? And from time to time, you would read, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and that's how they became a judge, is because the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. So God picked them, really. And so it's just interesting going, you know, having that rich history that is recorded for us in the Old Testament.
History seems to be the real lure for you, because Daniel is rife with history. And you've enlightened us since the beginning with deeming Daniel a history of Gentile nations, of Gentile empires, from the time of Babylon to the present day. And I'm almost hesitant to let it go. There's been so much here, and now we've made it to chapter 12, which is the last chapter. There are only 13 verses in chapter 12. This seems to me to be the same conversation that was happening in chapter 10, and for some reason the chapter breaks tend to confuse me, because there's this kind of like a non sequitur, a personal statement from Daniel at the beginning, and then it launches back into what has to be the vision. Is this all the same conversation with Gabriel?
Well, that's hard. You know, the chapter orders aren't in chronological order, so mm-hmm. That's what's confusing. And so 11 and 12, you know, 10, 11, and 12, you know, kind of all go together. So it could be indeed the same conversation with Gabriel. And as we will learn in further here in chapter 12, that the Lord himself is involved in this conversation and in this revelation, you know, to Daniel. And it gives us a picture, if you will, of yes, of what things to come. Now, last week we covered a little bit of about Jacob's trouble in verse 2 of Genesis 12. And this, you know, so we're Jacob's trouble is the end times. I mean, we are definitely in the end times with the, you know, chapter 12. And we're specifically, since Daniel is, he was a Jewish boy when he went into captivity, but he is an old man at this point, and he's about ready to be to meet his maker. Not that we find that out in the book of Daniel, but he's an old man, and so he's gotten this vision. And as you recall, when we started off with this vision, I mean, Daniel was trembling at the sight of this personage that he saw, and the person had to basically touch him and calm him down. So now Daniel is kind of receiving all of this, not really understanding it because he had no reference. How could he possibly understand it? I mean, yes, he knew about Babylon because he lived there, and he knew about Persia because he lived through that, and he's still in Persia, for example. But he did not, you know, he didn't know about the nations that were coming, other than it's going to be horrible as time goes on. You know, it will get worse and worse and worse as the end times. Well,
I can understand his confusion, because we, from our perspective in time, can look back and match history with the text of the book of Daniel and see the correlation. And yes. So it makes great good sense to us. To him, it must have been totally intimidating.
Oh, yeah, it had to be, and overwhelming. And it's like, I don't know. I'm probably just going to record this. And, you know, it's obviously for another time and not for this time. Which is a good segue into verse 4 of chapter 12. So why don't we jump in so we can conclude the book of Daniel this week. Otherwise, we won't. And so verse 4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So here's this famous verse of, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." At what point? At the end times, because we've been talking about the end times. So knowledge is going to run, you know, knowledge is going to increase greatly. And lo and behold, what do we have being developed? I mean, yes, we've got computers. We've had computers now for a time. But now we've got these huge data centers, and these huge, you know, servers and multiple servers and all of this, and we have artificial intelligence. Now, we call it artificial intelligence, but all it is just a big database of information. And what makes it intelligent is that they've found mechanisms to be able to retrieve information very, very quickly from such a database, and then to put them into some logical order that we can then understand. So you ask the database a question, and it comes back with the information. Now, you know, browsers and your phone has been doing this a little bit, and that really is artificial intelligence, but now we're getting into a whole new level of artificial intelligence, and even, you know, beginning to predictive, there's predictive things that are on the horizon. And it's been kind of projected that, hey, engineering jobs may go by the wayside because we're developing these artificial intelligent engines, for example, that can do structural engineering and do even, you know, computer coding and all of this stuff. So, you know, maybe some of these fields that have been around for a long time, where people were, you know, doing the calculations and things and setting code into place, that we're at the point where the computer's doing this. I mean, you know, even for my website, for example, my web hosting environment has artificial intelligence in it. And all I have to do is say, I want code that looks like this, and it generates the code for me. It generates.
It's hard to imagine all this technology not being a part of the end time being described to Daniel here. I mean, they go hand in glove.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are, there is so much, you know, the pointing to that we are rapidly, you know, approaching the end of times here, as spoken, as we've read here in Daniel. But Daniel is told to shut up the words and seal up the book until the time of the end. And so Daniel's book at the end here, it was sealed, but Revelation, it's unsealed. So all we need to do is go to the book of Revelation to say, okay, what's to come? And then, of course, Revelation gives us more detail as to the end times and very specific about the end times. Now, it is in kind of mysterious language, and it's, you know, because it's taking the view from heaven as opposed to things that we see here on earth. And so it's very, a lot of imagery is used, but it's the imagery of what John was actually seeing in the heaven. And this is what it looks like from the spiritual side. But needless to say, you know, Daniel's book was sealed up. And but we are certainly at the time of people, you know, running to and fro. Well, how do we run to and fro? Well, of course, we've got airplanes now that can take us anywhere in the world within hours, okay, days for sure, you know, and the planes are getting faster and faster. Now we've got supersonic, you know, space, not spacecraft, but vehicles that can travel certainly faster than the speed of sound. And so we can get to one part of the earth to another very, very quickly. So we're definitely in this time that is spoken of here in Daniel. Then in verse 5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld, behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on the bank, in on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?'" So now, you know, we're starting to gather a little crowd here. We've got the man clothed in linen, and who should that be? Well, that's none other than a Christophany, that Jesus Christ himself, that is standing above. The picture is that he's floating, you know, above the stream, and then on either side of the bank, you got these two other dudes on the opposite side of the bank. And so it's quite a vision. And these, you know, you have to believe that Daniel is actually seeing these people and seeing, you know, Jesus himself. And so it had to be quite a sight, you know, for him. But he asked this question, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And so the end of these wonders is bringing us into, when is this age ending? I mean, that's basically the question that Daniel is asking, because, okay, we've got man's history here. We've seen man's history. He understands at least a little bit that this is all of man's history.
Well, he said, someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, "How long?" So one of those two asked
the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know, not even the angels in heaven, you know. No, I mean, and of course the son of God didn't know while he was on earth. Of course, Revelation is his revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he knows now, but he's not coming back until the Father tells him to come back, which is a whole nother, you know, teaching all of its own. Okay. So, and verse 7 says, "And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the streams. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when this the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all things would be finished. Okay, the holy people, who the holy people? We should know by now, that's Israel, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Jews, it's Israel. So the shattering of the power of the holy people, it's like, okay, there is an end to all of this. And so he says, you know, for how long? And he says, for a time, times and half a time. And we've seen this time, times and a half a time. That's 3.5 years. So a time is a year. In times is 2 years, so that's 3.5. A time that's 3.5 years. And so, what period of time is being spoken of here in this in these verses or in this verse? And it's the Great Tribulation. If you jump into Revelation, you learn about, okay, there's a 7-year period, but really things get really, really bad in the last 3.5 years. So that is what's being spoken of here. That's when things are going to come to a climax here on earth. That's when, Jesus actually is going to return, although he's not mentioned here, but he's Daniel's asking the question. And so not him, actually. It's one of the, as you pointed out, one of the bystanders on the two.
Could the man above the waters of the stream dressed in linen been Jesus?
Do what now?
Could the man that was over the stream dressed in linen, who raised his hands to heaven and swore, could that have been Jesus?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a Christophany. Hmm. Actually, that it is, because it is so specific, a man clothed in linen. It's almost like it's very Jesus-like. I mean, it's, you know, when Jesus walked on this earth, of course, he was the time that he, you know, walked, people were clothed in linen, you know, type of things. So it gives you a picture. So there's something different about him than the other two that are there, because it specifically says that he's clothed in linen, kind of giving you this picture that he's a man.
But it's still so non-specific. I mean, it's after this happens, this will happen, and this is how long it'll take. But it doesn't talk about the trigger that sets off these events.
Doesn't, because it's sealed. It's in the book of Daniel. It's sealed.
Well, no wonder Daniel pipes up. Daniel pipes up and says, "I heard, but I did not understand." And so he asks what the outcome is, and I love the response in verse 9. It's go your way, Daniel. It's like, well, okay, never mind. I'll just give you a quick summary and we'll move on.
Right. In verse 8, it says, I heard, but I didn't understand. It's like, I don't know about this. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. And many shall. Okay, so they're sealed for Daniel. I mean, Daniel doesn't know. The people, you know, that come after Daniel don't know. It takes the visitation, you know, by John going up into the third heaven to get the revelation that, you know, we call the book of Revelation, that we get an understanding of when these things are going to occur. So it says, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand.
This is the ongoing business of society and culture. It's an overview, yeah.
But those that shall purify themselves, what are they purifying themselves? They're purifying themselves of the earth. In other words, It is, you have an option. You can either be an earth dweller, and we learn this in Revelation, so I'm bringing a lot of Revelation. Mm-hmm. You can either be an earth dweller, in which case you love the things of the earth, which means you love the things of Satan, really. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line. Or you can be a heaven dweller, in which case you love the things of God, and you purify yourselves of the earthly sins and the sins of the flesh, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You purify yourself of those things. That's what gives you the, you know, makes yourself white and refined. So there is, and as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we get sanctified, we are in the process of making ourselves white. There's a lot, you know, buried in that scripture because it is reminiscent of the Jewish wedding and the bride preparing herself. So she's betrothed, and her husband goes off. I mean, not her husband, but the man, the bridegroom goes off to his father's house. And he prepares a place for them to live. And the bride doesn't know when he's coming back, but she has to be ready. So she goes, once she is betrothed, she goes to the market and buys the best linen that she can buy. And so this is a symbol of the saints, if you will, that is the living saints, preparing their hearts and getting ready for the bridegroom, that is Jesus Christ, to return. So it's a picture, actually, of the church making herself ready for the rapture. Mm-hmm. It's one picture of that. But there's also going to be the Israelites, the Jews, during the tribulation period, who, and of course, there's 144,000 who are righteous and who make themselves ready for the bridegroom as well. And it's only, this is also an interesting verse because it's only the righteous who will be able to understand at the end times what's happening. So there is going to be a great deception that is poured out upon the earth, and we got a glimpse of that during these last 4 years, for example. There is a great deception that comes upon the whole earth, and people are deceived into believing the blasphemous things that come out of the Antichrist. But, you know, Daniel is just getting a little taste, and he can't possibly understand.
The statement that hits me between the eyes here is, none of the wicked shall understand.
Yes, they are completely deceived. They will not understand the things of God because, one, they refuse to. They don't want to. So God says, if you don't want to, I'm not going to show it to you. I mean, it's a warning, obviously, for us to make ourselves as white and to you know, focus on the things of God as opposed to the things of the earth. And you know, the longer I live, the more I'm beginning to understand that there is nothing here on earth that, you know, really should be desirable to us other than a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and other than relationships, healthy, godly relationships with other people, because that's what the kingdom is all about. It has nothing to do with a hot, you know, beautiful house, a beautiful car, you know, plenty of land or any of the things that the world has to offer. It's all about relationships. Let's move on. In verse 11, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate, we've heard about that before in Daniel, is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1335 days, but go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in the allotted place at the end of the days. The end, are we at the end? We are at the end. I think that's the end of chapter 12.
Well, it is, but verse 12, blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. That's 10, that's 45 days later. That's 45 weeks later. There's something special, something magical about that time.
Okay. All right. So let's break this down. So 3.5 years. 3.5 years is how many days? Well, at 360 days, a year, which is the Hebrew calendar is 360 days. 360 days, that's 1,260 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the end is going to be at 3.5 years. But now we got 1,290. We don't have 1,260. We got 1,290. So this is 30 days beyond that time. What is going to happen? There's something different that's going to happen at that time. So pulling things together, perhaps the you have Jesus returning at the 3.5 years, that is the 1260, and then he conquers Satan, he conquers the Antichrist, and you got this big battle of Armageddon, we learn about this big battle, millions of people involved, and, Israel, those who have an ear to hear, run to the mountains at the abomination of desolation. So we've spoken about this before. The abomination of desolation is the Antichrist, the first beast actually offering a pig sacrifice on the altar, which means that the temple has to be rebuilt, offering a pig offering on the altar. And then he goes into the Holy of Holies, declares himself to be God. And so that's the abomination of desolation. At that point, the people of God in Israel should say, this is what Daniel was talking about. And it says, don't even go back to your house. Just take what you have on your back, run to the mountains.
This would be the remnant of observant Jews.
Yes.
Yes.
They have been warned, they've been told, run to the mountains, get away from here as fast as you can, because this guy is now completely evil. He's going to go after you, and that's what he does. He goes after them, he chases them. It's almost, the reason why you want to read the Old Testament and read Exodus, because it's a picture of what is to come in the end. Because like Pharaoh, whose Pharaoh's army went after the Israelites and went after Moses, right? And they got swallowed up in the Red Sea. The Antichrist's army that's going after the Israelites again gets swallowed up. And his army gets, kind of destroyed too, like Pharaoh's army. So, these things are tied together. I mean, you can't separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, because they're all tied.
The pattern is the same all the way through. It impresses me that history is like a huge telescope. If you can envision a telescope as you extend it to a long, each section is the same shape, but each progressive section is slightly larger than the one before it. So they all go together. So it basically, we're the last section. It's the biggest story of all, but it follows the same pattern of those cycles that came before.
Yes, exactly. And so if you have an eye or an ear, or, if you're sensitive to, okay, this is a repeating pattern, this has happened before in history, especially biblical history, then you can look back and say, okay, this is going to happen again. And it will. So what about the 1290 days? So that's 30 days more than 3.5 years. Well, there's this big wedding feast that takes place in heaven. So the those that are in Christ shall rise, that have fallen asleep, that are dead, shall rise first. And those that are still alive shall meet Jesus in the air. That's not his second coming. That's when he calls his saints, that is us who believe in him, right? He calls us home, and we're going to have a big wedding feast. Well, there's a second part of the wedding feast that happens after that seven-year period that Israel is going through the great tribulation, And there is another wedding feast with a larger group of people. And this, I'm going back to the tradition of a Jewish wedding. That is possibly what we're talking about here. When Jesus has come back, we've come back, we've defeated the enemy. Jesus has, he defeats the enemy, not we, but he defeats the enemy. And now we have this gigantic wedding feast with the whole family, that is those that believed in Jesus during this time, and then those Jews who come to recognize their Messiah because of the signs that will happen, and they will say, aha, this is our Messiah who's come to save the day, and indeed he is. So it could be that the second wedding feast with the extended family, that's what happens on day 1290. We don't know. Could be the start of the millennial period. But there's this other day, this 1335 or 45 days after that. And what is that all about? Well, you have this big wedding feast, and then, you know, there's going to be some time of celebration and stuff. Who knows? You know, we're beyond what's being written now.
Well, a Jewish wedding feast normally lasts 5, 6, 7 days. I mean, it's not a it's not a big afternoon.
But
it's
that,
a week.
This is 45 days. So, you know, I don't, it's 45 days after that. So I don't know. It could be when Jesus says, okay, you've been faithful with a little, so you're over this part of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God will have come to the earth because Jesus came to, is coming to rule and reign, and we're going to rule and reign with him. And all of the saints, including those that now believe, the believing Jews, we will be ruling and reigning, you know, with Jesus. And it could be that he is passing out assignments. You know, I don't know. It's all pure speculation, but it's when you see something very specific like this, it has a specific meaning. And we'll find out when the time comes.
Well, I'm afraid I'll still be standing in line waiting for the last piece of wedding cake when all this happens here. So be it. It'll be an exciting time. So ends the book of Daniel, and it's been quite a journey. Don, we thank you and appreciate and recommend everybody read Genesis and then read Daniel and then read Revelation, and let's come back and talk about it all together because there's so much more to cover. Don, thank you. Don, I mentioned a member of the board of Creation Moments, and their website should be up now. They told me it would be up on the 20th of April. It's creationmoments.com. And whether it's the old site or the new site, either way, there's a reservoir of valuable information there, scientific information that helps you learn about, explain, and even teach the story of biblical creation, the biblical story of creation. Creationmoments.com. Recommend the visit there. You can link there from our website. If you're listening in there today, brokenroadradio.com, just click on the podcast, and then there'll be a link to Creation Moments. Don, thank you. We'll see you next week. And Quo Vadis, where next?
Yes, we're gonna press on. We're gonna jump back into our usual programming. And I think we might talk about inflammation.
Okay, boy, that's not nearly as exciting.
What a change.
Don, have a great week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Okay.
Okay. Very Bye-bye. Good. All right, so long.